This is Thursday, December 1st, 2016. We are at the Edith Norris Rogers Memorial Veterans Hospital in Bedford, Massachusetts. And this tape is part of the ongoing Veterans Oral History Project based at the Morse Institute Library in partnership with Natick Pegasus in Natick, Massachusetts. My name is Maureen Sullivan, and we are privileged to have with us today John Filios. Welcome, John. May I ask when you were born?
When was I born?
Yes.
13th of October, 1916.
And where were you born?
Westfield.
And where do you currently live?
Where what?
Where do you currently live?
Where do I currently live?
Yes.
Well, you see, my wife died, and I no longer own a house and kids in it. So the best thing I can say, this is my home, more or less.
Okay. And do you have children?
Pardon?
Do you have children?
Children. Yes. Five. I think we had five grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Now, John, I understand that you recently celebrated your 100th birthday,
yes,
for which we offer our congratulations. And your parents came from Italy. What part of Italy did they come from?
The northern part of Italy, my parents.
Like your father was a farmer?
Pardon?
Was your father a farmer?
Yes.
And when did they move to the United States?
1916.
And you were born shortly after?
Shortly thereafter. He may have come in 1914 or 19. See, he came twice. He came as a single person to help work in Springfield along the river there in 1908, and worked for a while and then went back, and I don't know when he got married, before or after, but he did come, and you want to know how many children we had? He and my mother had 10. So I have, I had three older men, boys rather, whatever, older than me, and one daughter. The three boys that were born are now all dead. Mm-hmm. The oldest one was a fireman for Springfield, Mass., and the second one was a machinist. He had his own factory, more or less, making very accurate pieces of metal, for instance, that the airplane people wanted, or the military. It was my second oldest brother. He had a very profitable business, and he turned it over to his son. The third oldest brother studied in Massachusetts, studied, what's that company that teaches people a lot about keeping track of your money? Anyhow, He got a job for one of the earlier of his career. He inspected mostly banks that the government was using or had some access to. He was the third. And the first one, his wife is still alive. He died. The second one, same story, but his wife died. Mm-hmm. The third one, I think his wife is still alive. So I have three older brothers. And my wife and I had, still have two. My wife died a few years ago. Family, we had two sons. Both became pilots in the Air Force.
Okay, John, let's get back to you. And what do you remember about growing up in Westfield?
We lived 4 miles or so out of the city of Westfield and had a small farm. Nothing as good as what he had in Italy, but he had a farm. And he worked back up in the smaller mountains where the city of Springfield had a dam and had a big source of water, and the water was piped into an area and underground, more or less, then piped to another place, West Springfield, and then to Springfield.
Do you remember anything about the Great Depression?
About what?
The Great Depression.
Depression, yes.
Mm-hmm.
My father was real happy that they finally got over the depression.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not lose his job. People have to drink water.
Being in the western part of Massachusetts,
yes,
at that time, Do you remember when the Quabbin Reservoir was built?
When it was what?
When it was built.
Quabbin.
Yes.
Quabbin Water was the second place to Springfield. The first place was in the western part of more of the Westfield area.
Do you remember the Hurricane of 38?
Do I remember the what?
The Hurricane of 38?
Yeah. Hurricane.
This was the hurricane that went up Rhode Island and damaged a good deal of Massachusetts, including your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Westfield got hit. I was going to college, Amherst, and we got it up there, too.
So that means you at least, you graduated from high school.
Pardon?
You graduated from high school?
Yes.
And you're in Amherst College?
I went to the state college there.
Oh, okay. So
not
you went
to Amherst.
Oh,
it was in Amherst, but it isn't Amherst College where the rich people go.
All right. So you went to what was then Mass State College?
Yeah.
What was your major?
Major? Well, chemistry.
What did you want to be?
Well, I thought I'd be a chemist.
Did
but,
you?
But I really didn't. I did a little bit of it, but not much.
Mm-hmm. When did you graduate from Mass State College?
State College in the 40s. 42, I think. 1942, thereabouts.
Now, John, were you working at the time? Were you also, did you have a part-time job?
Yeah, I had, a job before I got to college. Well, I worked, of course, my father had a small farm in western, 4 miles north of Westfield. And we were living not too far from a family in Oleksak. There are two or three families mm-hmm. with that name. And they lived more or less a mile away. We were in one road, and there's a road off to the left toward the west, and there's about three different families named Oleksak. Mm-hmm. And they had still have a company that makes lumber, sells it to people that want to build houses. I work for them. I had other jobs before working for them, but they had a road that went right through over the edge of our property. They went from the road there on. This is the road to go north to west to Warren Oco, Huntington, and so on. And they were, the Oleksaks had a lumber company way up that area too. And business of cutting trees and making lumber up Huntington, up that area. And to get there, they were driving their car right next to my father's property into the road that went north. And they saw me working, cutting down a tree that was sort of on our border, and offered me a job. And so I worked for the lumber company quite a few years, and quit it for a while to go to school, college. During the summer, I still work for steam-driven power for their sawmill, and I was hired to fire the furnace. That and also helped keep the fire going all the time.
Okay.
But also drove a truck to loaded wood out to where they stacked it. They put it up right after you cut it. You put it in a pile so that it dries up, and you fit it so that it'll run. It won't get all wet, you know. Uh-huh. After it's dried well, then you make boxes or mm-hmm. you ship it somewhere for people that want lumber.
Okay. So, John, being of Italian heritage, what did your family think of Benito Mussolini?
Of Mussolini? They yes. hated him.
Okay.
One of the reasons they moved the years that he did, they get away from Italy when Mussolini was there, and we were pleased that Mussolini got killed by the Italians.
All right, we're leading up to your start of your military service. Now, what do you remember about the attack on Pearl Harbor in December 7th, 1941?
Getting out of college or about through it, I got a job working for the government. What was I doing? Well, a place that was making a good part of it was a time when we were the U.S. was helping English people that were fighting. There was a contract for U.S. to provide some bullets, you know. Mm-hmm. Not bullet, but I don't have the right term for the thing that comes shooting out of
we'll call it ammunition.
Yeah, I worked for them for a few years, and what was I going to say? That during that time period, I was pretty strong, and I remember moving something. The boss was big, and we were doing this for the government. We were working on the back end of a shell that comes out of a cannon, mm-hmm. and it was made there in near the southern part of Massachusetts, down there near the along what's the water? Fall River. It was way down near the ocean. Well, anyhow, unfortunately, the head. I was one of the about three of us that were people that I went because I knew a little chemistry and also quite a bit about how to put together this shell that goes into a can. And well, what we were doing for a while, we were putting in the part on the shell that would say it would be carried in and would go off, not compulsed, pushed out. That was a little different, but once it was out, then when it hit something, it exploded. Mm-hmm. And we had a put together the head of it that was, in fact, the product that we made was sent up to Canada, and they practiced shooting some into one of the Great Lakes, out into the pond, just to test it and see if it. We send them a bunch of them. They test one or two to see if they work. Typical.
Okay, so John, you're in Fall River, correct?
Fall River.
And you're helping create and build munitions. And some of them would be sent to Canada
well,
to be
and
tested.
And then it would wind up in England. Mm-hmm. And England was, while I was doing that, England started fighting Germany.
Mm-hmm. So were you, you were working for the government,
yeah,
but you were not in the military yet, or had...
That's true. I was not in the military.
All right. How long were you in Fall River?
Well, I worked for them for several years. You know. Well, I was working for the company, Elect Brothers, they were pretty good. Well, put it this way, working in the woods, met some people that went to work for a company that was building expansion of Devens, especially the hospital there. And the people that I knew in that were helping the sawmill and the worker out in the woods cutting the trees to provide the sawmill. Some of them lived out near Boston, and first, why, I don't know, I got to be pretty lucky with them, and they said, why don't you come out here if you want, and live in Pittsburgh or whatever, and we're working at Fort Devens for the government. And I don't know why I left the public after the sawmill, but I went to work at Fort Devens, where what was it working? Oh, a variety of things, helping where they were building houses.
Okay.
Even if it was just putting in a.
All right. When you were working at Fort Devens, was this before or after the United States entered the war?
After their what?
After they were in the war.
They were in the war.
Okay. And when did you join the Air Force?
Well, this is before I went down and worked for the a company that was making somehow after I was working there, they needed somebody to teach. One of those companies that I worked for was asked to teach young people that were going to be in airplanes and operate the radio or the the stuff that sends signals.
Or radar?
Radar, but not so much that as the code. I had to teach the kids the Morse code of sending signals. Turned out rather strict. I found out that the woman can learn would you believe it? The woman can learn how to use the Morse code and were being hired by railroad. Why? Because railroad not only built track would go out and off to out west to Albany and on and so on, but all alongside of that railroad, they would have a strict bunch of wires going on up on poles and going next. You find the railroad going, and near it a lot of wires on poles that were sending they would send it from Boston to somewhere halfway to Albany or something. You gotta wait for so and so is coming in to join you, or something. Mm-hmm. In other words, they had a lot of the wires, almost one for every city from Boston to so on. You could see poles with five or six strips of wire. I don't know if you remember. Yeah. Well, anyhow, they needed men that can handle the Morse code. So I hired out for a while. I hired out building buildings with carpenters and so on, and me lugging the wood slubber. In fact, I was a foreman.
Okay, now John.
Anyhow, I wind up taking the job, teaching the kids how to handle the code, the Morse code that's used on those on those wires.
Okay, during
time.
All right. When did you enter the United States Air Force?
I was working on for that company that made the bill, the ammunition, and then when I signed up, I went over to place where they were signing up people. It was right after. What convinced me was the thing that the Japanese did to when they attacked what was it they attacked? Islands, our islands. And that's when I signed up with the Air Force. Okay.
So that was when they attacked Wake Island and Guam?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I signed up with a conflict, and they sent me somewhere out west, California.
Was this the first time you were out of Massachusetts?
I was what?
Was this the first time you were away from Massachusetts?
Yes.
How did you like California?
How did I like it?
Yeah.
Oh, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And what do you remember about...
My wife came out there. I got married, later.
Okay, let's get you back to California again.
Yeah.
Okay.
It did.
Now, John,
the government sent me back there.
Okay.
There were two groups of inspectors in this plant in Fall River that were building these shells. They offered me civilian company that were hired by the company that bought the plants and, you know, paid us, so on. They thought I was a nut to join after the Japanese hit the islands, that I decided then to go into the Air Force. And the boss down there in Fall River said I thought I was kind of nutty. I had a pretty good job. Why do I want to be a lieutenant or a beginner sergeant, whatever? In other words, he thought I wouldn't do that well in the military. But I did.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get you back in uniform. You finished your training. Do you remember where you were sent? Were you sent to a base in the United States, or were you sent overseas?
Well, at first it was United States.
Do you remember where in the United States?
California.
Okay, you're back in California. Do you remember what your duties were?
Got into the Air Force as a radio man. Radio.
All right, you're a radio man. Were you a radio man on a base or on a plane?
Airplane.
Okay. Do you remember what kind of plane? Was it a B-17, a 24?
17 was the one that I was in first.
And I'm sorry.
What got me into something was when they bought these big bombers that were had a lot bigger military on it. Had heavier things for shooting and dropping bombs, but firing out if the bomber, then it would be firing the smaller airplanes that were coming and tracking him. That's what the British and the, not the British, the Polish or the one, what was it, German and Russian had smaller airplanes, just like we did for defense. And but then when the Americans got this great big bomber, that's when we started doing radios, you know, it would carry the bombs that exploded, what we call, oh, imagine, the stuff that kills everybody, blows up, you know, what we call that?
An atomic bomb?
Atomic.
Okay.
Yeah. When we got a bomber that was meant to carry atomic, I got involved in testing it and coming up with not the early part of my time with being someone in the Air Force, the early days of it. Well, woman came out and married me out in California.
So a little later in the war, you got to help test the atomic bomb. You got to see the bomb go boom.
Yeah. Anyhow, the big thing I did was to set up a testing with the help of the defense, where the defense was one that had stations, all, you know, with radios in them and so on. Well, whatever. I got, I did a lot, and this is probably where he thinks that I did some things that would be great in the future. Well, anyhow, I got some help from people that had small airplanes that were single, one man, but were used for, or two men or so on, or three, or I don't know, but small, were used for fighting, defending. You know, you have the airplane The Air Force had a nice big fat one that carried heavy bombs, and to protect it, they had more guns than the little plane. But the little plane would be attacking the big one, particularly little planes from Germany or Russia. And they would come at the front or the side or the tail. And so the guns in the big plane had one looking straight ahead, had one looking off to the side, had another one in the tail, and had quite a lot of men to operate them. You know, you can't have one in all those places. You had one here and a different one, and so on. And so the thing that makes me probably such a time that delivered something that they found was very good. I ran some tests with the help of the small bombers, the small fighters, out in the West mostly, but best way to defend yourself against the small fighters, if we would come so-and-so, nose on the front or the side. And the biggest thing I wanted was that if the man is coming from the side, you really could switch the tail bomber, man that you get in tail, could swing around here as well as the one that's on the side. And you could hit two guns from two guns aiming at that man with only one. And if you did that with just about every area, if he's hitting you at the nose on, there's not much you can do except the nose above your pilot, aim like that. But if he comes just a little bit over off to the side, you got the one from the top and another one from halfway up of the airplane could shoot him. In other words, the testing was, does this work or not? And apparently it did, and was thought about by some of the most important generals. Quite a long time after I first went out to California. Mm-hmm. In other words, it was quite a while.
So you spent most of the war in California while serving with the Air Force.
Pardon?
Is that correct? Also, while you were in the Air Force during the Second World War,
yeah,
you were mostly in California.
Yeah.
Were you sent anywhere else?
Well, I went out to, Well, anyhow, the idea was we ran the tests all the way from Upper California down to the Lower California, and ran some of the tests to show this is the better way, the best way you have for winning the shooting, because you would have two groups on one coming in. Of course, they're answer is that, well, they could come in from both this side, you know. But whenever you could work it to where you had two guns on their one, you were ahead. And this testing that was able to arrange to start with was because of coordination with the American defense with the light, small fighters. So we ran some tests on this thing, and it seems like it worked. The generals like it, and that's the place where my name might stay, Phil, because you know, I set it up. I got an okay from the small fighters of our own to work this out, and we set it up pretty well to test, see how it would work what I had proposed.
Now, John, while you were stationed in California, did you hear about any advances of the enemy aircraft, such as the early jets?
Pardon?
Did you hear about the Germans developing jets?
Oh, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't bring it that far. Because it took I don't know how long it takes for them to build airplanes of that size. I didn't know it.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, how long were you stationed out in California? Were you there until the end of the war?
What?
Were you in California until the end of the war?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. And you?
When did I get retired?
Okay, you retired.
Yeah. Interesting that I was visiting California and then went up to Alaska for a while.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
What was up in Alaska besides icebergs?
Well, there was some work that the Russians were floating, putting people on big ice floes up there, floating around in different places. And well, one of our soldiers that knew a little Russian was up there in a bomber airplane about, and heard the Russians sending information back to from Canada up, or from, not Canada, but Alaska, sending this stuff back to Russia from the ice code, ice. They had, like, guns and things floating on some of the big ice money places, and I know that one of the American codes, young men, enlisted men, just listening on the TV, the radio, heard them sending this Russian stuff, and he recorded it, and he got a special, well, he got a, what, some sort of a, an award.
Like a commendation?
Yes.
Okay.
And we were real pleased with that, but he wasn't allowed to say much about it. And that's what the trouble with some of the other things that I did. They didn't really want me to tell me much about it. If I helped build a bunch of what up, up on top of a mountain and build a radio set there, and one that could be able to listen stuff from quite a long ways away.
And was this radio station up in Alaska or in California?
No, this was more in California.
Okay. So this was taking place during the early years of the Cold War with Russia?
It was the one up on top of the mountain was actually after this war in the, what's the one where we had?
We had Korea, we had Vietnam.
Forgot the one where we had this, I'd have to think about it.
All right. So do you remember how long you were in the Air Force overall? Was it 5 years, 10 years?
Oh, a lot more than that.
A lot more than that. Was it more like 20 years?
Yeah.
Okay. In addition to being in California and Alaska, do you remember where else you were stationed? Such as? Were you stationed elsewhere in the United States?
Oh, I was small amount of stuff in Europe.
Okay.
Europe, England, what was it? The British defenses had radar scattered around all around there, I had a bit of a problem of running all the way up to the and down. That would test their defensive radar on both the North Sea and the ocean as well. And we provided some jammers on these routes to see really the jammers were what the British put on their big, they were going to use them. We were going around putting a jammer into ruining their ability to see, you know. The radar normally would wave over and get a bounce, and you instead fed a lot of static that they couldn't see, you know, the airplane and so on. We ran a test in England. So what can you do if the Russians or someone try doing that, and you can't see them anymore? Well, all you know is that, you know. And I know that I got a credit for having set something like that up with the British, the test system. We had enough aboard our bombing airplanes that were stationed there. We added a few more pieces of jammer and played around in England to say this is what the other team, Russians and so on, will try to do, make you you know, not able to do as like you, because you get a lot of fuzz and look cloud on, you can't see. Well, that's probably where they think my name is important, but I don't brag about it.
John, let's take a half step back. You're an officer in the Air Force, and you are kind of in the middle of the Cold War. Can you explain what
was... Well, the one back here in America, yeah, it was me. Mm-hmm. I went to see the defense people that were in charge of all the defensive radars in Alaska and down into California and over, you know, in different places. And we ran around, across them, and was there okay. Did a lot of jamming to see what we could damage their ability to watch airplanes. There's a lot of fuzz on their stuff. Part of this was really testing the ability of our people to jam this or that or the other, and which one does the worst work, you know, on the enemy. Mm-hmm. And the generals, on seeing this, saw that this is pretty good. And so that really gave me a name that got around amongst them. Well,
in general, what did you think about your service in the Air Force?
Well, the Air Force won't do that if the public doesn't want it, the Air Force won't do it. If the people in the city doesn't want a bunch of even older men walking down the street with guns,
okay,
they don't want it.
Never mind the guns, let's talk about you. In general, how important was it for you to serve in the Air Force for 20 years? Was it a good experience for you, a bad experience?
Well, I have no knowledge. I just have to guess that.
Okay. Well, John Filios, we thank you so much for taking part in the Natick Veterans Oral History Project.